The Plotcast Podcast with the Potty Plotters.
We'll start at the beginning then, Julia, and it's now season 2, episode 11. And I'm Elaine.
And I'm Julia, and I'm laughing because we've already been told off by Gareth before we've even started, because you got it all muddled up again.
What's the difference there, then?
You know, it doesn't matter what happens, I always get the blame. Have you noticed?
You write this?
Yeah, anyway, right, so we'll get on with it then. Yep. So, in this episode, we're going to be talking, well, we're going to be talking, never mind what about, but we're going to do a little tiny weeny bit on recycling. Gareth's brought some in today.
Yeah, good.
And how useful some of the recycling can be on the plot, but not everything. So, I'm going to dispel some myths and assumptions on stuff that's on that stuff. On that internet malarkey, and I wanted to plant out peas in the ground and some broad beans in the wheelbarrow, and Gareth's looking round because actually it's chucking it down outside. So we are in the polytunnel at the moment, but we will be setting some chard, some cucumbers and some loofahs, but we're also going to have a busy half hour. Gareth's got that funny face on him.
Well, he doesn't like it when it's raining because it interferes with the recording.
Okay, well, why don't you go and put the kettle on instead, Julia, and wait for it to stop.
The Plotcast Podcast with the Potty Plotters.
Well, thanks for that, Julia. It was unusual, but we've had a break before we started.
It wasn't unusual, it was tea. And coffee.
It was very nice.
Speaking of coffee.
Yeah. Oh, yes.
Oh, that leads
coffee,
you.
What a link.
That leads you in, doesn't
Come on, Gareth.
Well, if you're enjoying this, and I mean, I'm not at the minute because it's raining, but if you're enjoying this and you would like to support the Plotcast to keep carrying on, then please do leave us a tip at ko-fi.com/thepottyplotters. Now, it's a bit like when you go out for a meal and you tip the waiter or the waitress for really good service. What you're doing is tipping us for a really good podcast.
Oh, right.
See what I did there?
Yeah.
So, give you a shout out. We'll love you forever if you do. So we love Tanya Dobbs for your tip. So thank you very much, Tanya.
Thank you, Tanya.
We are recording this a little bit in advance. So if you tip us this week, it may take a few weeks for us to get around to you, but we will get around to thanking every single one of you. So if you would like to leave us a tip, go to ko-fi.com. That's ko-fi.com/thepottyplotters. While I'm faded up, as they say in the business, do you want me to do how to get in touch?
Yes.
Okay, so if you would like to get in touch and ask us any questions, I won't answer them because I know nothing, then you can get in touch with us on Facebook, Instagram and X at Potty Plotters, TikTok at The Potty Plotters. I updated it this week. I put something on TikTok.
Oh, did you?
Yeah, I did.
Well done.
It won't carry on, probably. You can email us naughtycorner@pottyplotters.uk, or you can check out the website, pottyplotters.uk. I don't want to moan about the weather, but a few minutes ago, it was absolutely thrashing it down. Now it's so sunny, I can't actually see the screen.
Don't look at
it. No. Okay, fine, I won't. All right.
Yeah.
Bye.
Just listen to us instead.
Yeah.
If you'd like Elaine and Julia to come to a talk for your group, get in touch. naughtycorner@pottyplotters.uk.
So, talking about the weather, Elaine, we are sat in the polytunnel and we are surrounded by plants, aren't we?
Yeah, because we can't plant anything out. We're still underwater outside. I've been digging this morning. I know that some people might be shocked at that, but I have been raking over as well, but it's absolutely sodden. Now, the difficulty I've got now, Julia, is that I've got loads and loads of plants in the greenhouse that are ready to be planted out, such as the broad beans, and I've also got peas as well. Mm. Now, I put peas in a gutter and they look fine. They look very healthy, but I do need to get them out within the next couple of weeks. Otherwise, they'll become too leggy and we don't want that. So with regards to the broad beans, you know that I've got lovely raised beds, very sandy, well drained. So I am going to plant those within probably the next hour or something similar.
Really?
Even though it's raining, yes. So the things to look out for where your broad beans are first of all slugs, because they like them. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to use Slug Gone, which are the wool pellets from sheep. And all I do is put a few of them round the bottom of the stalk as I plant them. And then I don't need to water them because it's already raining. So they will form their own little hairy mat and they keep the slugs off. I also put in stakes. Now then, when I say that, All that I do is...
I've got interested now you said steak.
Julia hasn't, because she's vegetarian.
What do you do with the steaks?
Yes, well, what I do is... With the sticks, no. With the sticks, he's getting above himself, isn't he now? He's got a speaking part, and he just runs over hours. Have you noticed?
I did notice. We need
going to be some contractual
changes.
We've got to find one first. Never mind, change them. Right then. And all that you do is plant and make sure you plant them in a straight line. And what I do is I plant them around 6 inches apart, each plant, and then firm them in. So make sure with your knuckles, I shove my hands in and make sure they're really solidly in. And that's simply to stop them snapping. Because if it does get too windy, unfortunately, the wind can snap them. And once the stalk has been snapped, Julia, there's no going back.
Okay.
So how I'm going to do that as well is I'm going to put a string against them. Now then, I did see a funny thing the other day when we went to another allotment site. And I saw that somebody had put a six-foot cane next to a broad bean.
Yes.
Now, the broad bean plant, rather. And it made me laugh because I thought, this person doesn't know how to support the broad beans and obviously thought they were going to climb.
Yeah, I think a lot of people get confused with broad beans because you don't support them in the same way that you would, say, a runner bean or a climbing French bean, do you?
Not at all. And all that you're going to do is literally run a line. So a stick and then a line to another stick and then round the bean. So then go sort of 6 inches further away from the bean and then back up again. So... Oh, yes. I wondered what Gareth was doing then, because he was indicating get nearer the microphone. Ah. But it was simply that I was moving my sticks, couldn't you see, Gareth, in my hand.
Oh, those invisible sticks.
Yes, but I can't help. That's what I do. So that's all that we're doing with those, but supporting them good and proper. And then I'm going to do another line next to them, probably around 8 inches apart. That's all.
Right.
Because they do like to be close to each other. But I'm also going to put some in a meal barrow.
Are you?
Yeah.
You're not going to stake those, though?
No, because they're called the Sutton. So the variety is only a dwarf variety and they don't need any staking whatsoever. And I'm going to put them in the meal barrow. And it's a wheelbarrow that's got holes in the bottom. And I've already filled them with muck and topsoil. That's ready to go.
Well done. And when do you expect to eat them, Elaine?
I would have thought round about the middle of June. Now, the Sutton, don't forget, you can eat them as a whole pod.
Right.
So you don't have to leave them for the the beans to form. Take them as a whole. But that'll be interesting. I've never done that before, but they're only mini ones. So,
okay.
Yeah, I think I could try them out on my other half.
Have you got to protect them against the birds?
No, not at all. The birds don't like broad beans. A bit like Gareth.
Don't like much though, does he?
I don't mean that the birds don't like Gareth. I mean that he doesn't like broad beans.
Don't like beetroot, don't like parsnips.
No.
That's what's wrong with him
anyway. Chips.
Yeah.
Well, Gareth reminded us all very eloquently, I thought, as well, earlier, as to how to get in touch with us. And Kev from Swaddling Coat in Derbyshire has got in touch with us. And he says, morning. I was listening to the podcast last night. Interesting. Especially interested in the peat-free expert. Using biochar to hold on to nutrients and capture minerals and good soil microbes would help when mixed with peat-free compost. We're about to engage a student from Derby University on the biochar project. We are hoping they bring more of the science and benefits together for us. Kev.
I'm really interested in that because I have been trialling the a brand of peat free, which when I used it to germinate the seeds, I was quite happy. When the plant was first coming on, I was quite happy. And then gradually over time, as the plants have been developing, and of course, I have been growing it alongside the one that we've always used, the clover, which has got peat in, the plant has become noticeably smaller. But also, in terms of the lettuce that I'm growing, which is a red variety, it's become really small and very bright red. And I think there is some kind of nutrient deficiency now. And that really hasn't been, I mean, it's not even been growing for 4 weeks in the cells. So I need need something that's going to lock in those nutrients. So maybe if I have a go with the biochar that Kev's mentioning, I'm quite happy to experiment. As we mentioned before, you know, we are going in the direction of peat-free, and it's not that we're against peat-free or peat. It's just the fact that we're going in that direction, and we need to find something that's going to work.
But it's great that somebody like Kev has actually got in touch with us and given us another idea as to how to experiment, because I think we need to take a photograph of your lettuce so that people can see the difference, because once you've seen it, you'll not forget it. That's a job for you, Gareth. Have I just woken you up?
No. I've got jobs now.
Yes. Can you go into the polytunnel in a little while and take a photograph of the lettuce that we're just talking about, please, so that people can see the comparison?
Yeah.
He said, yeah.
Okay. Contact the Potty Plotters anytime on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram at Potty Plotters, or email naughtycorner@pottyplotters.uk.
Right then, Julia, chard. Now, I say chard.
Yes.
Because it's something that you never ever see in a supermarket for sale. You sometimes see it at the farmer market, malarkey. Yeah. And yet, when I've seen it on food programmes on the telly, people talk about it like it's a new invention.
No, it's been around for a long time. And I'll tell you where else we saw it. I think we saw it at Chelsea.
Oh, you're right. We saw the rainbow chard.
Yes.
Do you remember that they used all the different coloured stalks?
Because it is beautiful to look at. Yeah. It's one of those plants that is really stunning to look at. And I think they just used it for the foliage. Yeah, it is something that you won't see in the shops. And the reason that you don't see it in the shops very much is because it goes quite limp quite quickly. Why are you laughing at that? I mean, nobody wants to display anything that's limp, do they? Because no one will buy it then. So we do grow our own and we do love it. And what does it taste of, Elaine?
I think that the stalks taste of white cabbage. Mm-hmm. You know, the hard white cabbage? Yeah. That's what that tastes of. And ironically, the tops, which look a bit like rhubarb, cross between rhubarb and spinach, I think that, when it's shredded, tastes of the spring cabbage.
Oh, right. I think it's quite spinachy tasting as well.
It's full of iron, obviously, because it has got that bitter brassica taste, hasn't it?
Yeah.
But I think it's such a versatile vegetable. I don't understand why more people don't grow it, because it is so simple.
Yeah.
So how do you do it then?
So I think, if I'm right in thinking, it is in the beetroot family, isn't it? And it can grow as a perennial.
It does.
We should be able to leave it. However, I left mine in overwinter in the ground here and it's just rotted. So
has it really? Well, but we've been underwater for how many weeks?
Yeah. So although it is a perennial, it depends on the conditions in which you're keeping it in. But it does grow quite readily and quickly. And then it gets producing and you get loads and loads of leaves off it. So I'm going to do a whole tray of them, Elaine. And the reason that we don't plant in the ground here, obviously, is because of all the problems we've got with the water. We've got problems with rats and mice. We've got all kinds of problems. So we found that it's just much easier to grow things as a plant and then pop them in the ground when they get to a decent size so they can hold their own a little bit. So I've got some fantastic ones here called Celebration.
And the colours of the stalks of that, well, they are the rainbow colours, aren't they? Yeah. From purple, green, yellow, orange, bright red, pink. I don't think you can go far with that. I mean,
if you could put them in a bouquet, if they didn't go limp, they'd be wonderful in a bouquet. But as they do...
I'm not really sure about all of that, Julia.
I'm not sure I've ever seen a veg bouquet before.
Hey, it's the next trend you watch, I'm telling you. So I've got a seed packet, and I think I've got
look at the size of those seeds.
I've got about 200 as well in this seed packet.
So I've done chard before, and we did it in our old house.
Yeah.
And I was surprised at the size of the seeds, because you don't necessarily expect something that's... I mean, you see what it comes off like. It's probably, 18 inches when you cut it. You don't expect something that's kind of like that to come from such a big seed. You normally expect a much smaller seed for something like that.
Yeah, and actually, I don't think I've ever seen chard go to seed. Have you? Anyway, we'll have to keep
but
a lookout for it.
They are double the size of a beetroot seed, aren't they?
They are.
And so, twice as nice.
Yeah, and they're so easy to handle, Elaine. Yeah. So we've got one of these recycled trays that we were given. And actually, I think, I don't know whether we're allowed to say it, but I think they were given to us from someone who worked at B&Q.
Yeah.
And they had like flowers in them, I think, originally. And they're perfect.
Six square, aren't they?
Yeah, so we just keep recycling and recycling. And all I'm going to do...
So what compost have you put in there?
I just put the normal multi-purpose.
Okay.
I know that the peat-free will germinate these, because what I found with the peat-free that I'm using is the bigger the seed, the more successful they are. But actually, even down to the smallest seed, the one that I am trialling is actually really good at germinating the seeds. It's germinated the antirrhinums, it's germinated the lettuce seeds. It's just then the they're growing onwards that I've found that there are problems.
But by the time they get to seedlings, we'll be able to put them straight out into the allotment anyway, won't we?
Yeah.
Hopefully we'll have some sunshine by then.
Yeah.
Do you remember that? Sunshine.
I know. No.
Happens about twice a year, maybe, maybe less.
It's definitely maybe less at the minute.
Anyway, okay, so back to the tray. And all I'm going to do is plant these seeds, and I'm going to give them about an inch in between each seed. And the reason I do that is just because it's so much easier to prick them out and then pot them on into the next cell trays that we move them onto. Or we could perhaps pot them directly into the ground, but it's just much easier to move them on. And because they're quite large seeds, Elaine, I'm going to cover them with twice the depth. So what, that's about half an inch,
that. And are you going to water them from the bottom up, which means you're going to stand them in a tray?
Yeah.
I mean, I've done some trays of water this morning over in this polytunnel.
Yeah.
You're just going to stand it in that.
I'm going to soak its bottom.
And don't forget to label it as
Gosh, yeah.
All right. The other thing that I was going to say was, Julia, that I use chard all the time for making pakoras.
Oh, yeah.
Because it's better than spinach. It's more versatile and it's not as sensitive.
Okay, I didn't know spinach was sensitive, has it?
Well, it doesn't.
Well, I mean, around the lane, everything's sensitive, isn't it? We're sensitive around the lane.
So there you go, Elaine. So I've planted my chard and I'm now just going to put it into the tray of water. So I'll leave the... We'll leave it until it germinates.
So let's get everybody planting a bit of chard and see how everybody does.
But don't make it into a crumble.
If you'd like to support the podcast, you can leave us a tip at ko-fi.com/thepottyplotters. That's ko-fi.com/thepottyplotters. And we'll love you forever.
Right then, let's get on to cucumbers and loofahs. Oh, now then, we're sitting in the polytunnel. I'm just going to turn round here. And now then, where did I put it?
What have you lost?
Oh, here it is. Oh, no, can't reach.
No, be careful. Can't afford the payout.
Now then, I just thought I'll just get back on again. Hold on a minute. So, here's some that I've grown earlier. So, knowing that we were going to be doing loofahs just a few days ago, I set some loofah seeds.
Okay.
Now, these seeds are from loofahs that I've grown in the past.
Yes.
And I've planted them into a cell tray, multi-purpose compost, and they're quite big seeds.
Yep.
In that they were around half an inch. I put them on the side, and I recently, i.e. this morning, before anybody else landed, I watered them. I watered them by putting them in a tray of water, and they've soaked up as much as they wanted. And look here, Julia.
Ooh.
I've got 5 out of 6 at the moment.
Right, okay.
There you go. I've just called them loofah.
Right, okay.
Yeah.
Where will you be growing loofah then?
I'm growing loofah as I do cucumbers, and that's going to... I think I'll probably put them on my big greenhouse, actually.
Okay.
So, and these will grow alongside the cucumbers. They grow exactly like a cucumber, but their growing period is a lot longer than a cucumber.
Won't you get confused if they're growing alongside the cucumber? Won't they get a bit chewy in your mouth if you eat in loofah?
But conversely, have you ever scrubbed your back with a cucumber?
No, but you can make scrubs out of it, can't you? Ooh, lovely inside.
Out of a cucumber?
Of course you can.
What?
Aren't these beauty treatments awful?
I think what you're confusing it with is, don't you just chop a little bit off and put it on your eye? So you've got Lufa Van Dross there.
Yeah.
Never too much.
You know, we shouldn't be doing this, should we? It's not right. anyway, thank you everybody for that. And so they've got at the moment, these five, they've just got two little leaves and they look very happy here. So these are going to now stay in these cell trays until probably another 3 weeks.
Okay.
So they will have grown substantially. But do I get them confused with a cucumber plant? No, I don't. And I don't because these leaves smell.
Do they?
Now, as they get bigger, honestly, they smell, I think they smell of cabbage. If anybody has ever grown a loofah plant, you will know they are very, very different. They look the same as a cucumber plant, but they honestly, the leaf smells. I thought you were going to say something then, Gareth, but no. Right, so they have started.
Okay.
And they will get germinated. Hopefully the last one will get germinated. And then I'll be putting two or three of them in my big greenhouse, which is 10 foot by 12 foot.
Okay.
So that is quite a size that they need. Now, the thing is with these is that once they get going, they really do get going. But I'll not be taking any of the loofahs off, whereas the cucumbers, I'll be picking those hopefully intermittently every other day, actually, when they get going. But with the loofahs, I'll leave them on. And then what happens is they fall. Form a shell. Instead of peel, it turns into shell, and it's just like eggshell, and you can tap it like an egg.
Yeah.
And then round about September, October time, that's when the loofahs will be ready, and they go dark brown to black in colour. You then snip them off and you peel them, and inside you'll find loads and loads of loofah seeds, i.e. these loofah seeds.
Okay.
And then you plant them, and so the circle carries on.
Very good.
Yeah.
Very good.
Just thought I'd tell you that.
So are you going to do your cucumber seeds at the same time?
Well, here's some that I've grown earlier.
Oh.
So I'll just put these on one side again, move them out the way. And the cucumber I've got here, Julia. So I've got a cell tray, a six cell tray, and I'm going to grow Telegraph Improved.
Right.
Now then, even Gareth likes cucumber. Mm-hmm. So I've just got some multi-purpose compost here, and I'm just going to fill the cell tray with multi-purpose compost. There you go.
Now, when we're sowing cucumbers, Elaine, you can grow cucumbers outside, can't you?
You can, yeah, and they're a ridge cucumber. But the difficulty I found, Julia, is that they're quite temperamental. They don't like the cold.
Okay.
But they also grow a thicker skin, and it's got spikes on it.
Ooh.
So you can knock the spikes off,
right.
That's fine. But it's the thicker skin. It's okay if you haven't got a greenhouse or one of the plastic greenhouses that you can buy from local shops, you know, the little ones.
Yeah.
They're about 6 foot by a foot, something like that.
And
they work perfectly well outside, but I prefer the ones that you grow in a greenhouse. They've got thinner skin.
Thin skins, right, okay.
And not seedy either.
No, and the ones that you've got then,
they're
long ones, aren't they? They're going to grow quite long.
They are, and I like them because usually when you give these away, it's for people who have got a family, etc. But what I will say is, ironically, going back to what you were on about earlier, if you leave these out of the fridge for any length of time, they go limp.
Yes, they do. They do go a little bit floppy,
Gareth,
don't they?
Gareth is shaking his head. Gareth, this is true. You'll learn something if you listen to this podcast.
What I learned last year was to wrap a cucumber up in cling film, and it protects it in the fridge.
It does. It's
ironic. A good idea.
Yeah.
Or what you could do is grow a shorter version of the cucumber, which I grow, and then you just eat them in one go.
Yeah, but we all know Elaine likes a long one.
I do, and I'm going
to
grow
one. Make sure you label it, because you don't want to get disappointed if I give you a little one there.
Well, I've just opened the packet, so inside the packet is a packet. That's two packets. Right then, and inside I've got about 20 seeds, and shake them out onto my hand. Ooh, there we go. And these seeds are around half an inch in length, and of course they are cucumber seeds, so if you want to know what one looks like, remember a sliced cucumber.
Yeah.
In the middle are cucumber seeds.
Yeah.
And that's what they look like, because that's what they are.
You know, you did your sliced tomato, could you do a sliced cucumber?
I don't know. I don't know if the seeds are big enough.
Oh, yeah.
Let's go hunting.
Because you'd have to let your cucumber go quite seedy, wouldn't you?
Yeah.
To get that size of seed out of them, so.
Let's have a look. We'll have a look.
Okay.
Anyway, all I'm going to do now is I'm going to put one seed per cell, and I'm going double the depth of the seed. So I would say that's a quarter of an inch.
Yep.
And probably quarter to a half inch of compost on the top. And I'm going to plant all six of these, and then Gareth can have one. Do you want one?
No, thank you. I've got my little ones.
Oh, okay then. So what are you going to do with your little ones? Well, are they the same as my big ones, but little?
Funnily enough, yes, they are. But, so I plant them exactly the same way. I'll probably grow three or four plants. Just so that I've got a few to give away if people want any. Oh, Gareth's putting his hand up. He would like one of mine.
You prefer a short one then, Gareth?
No, I'll take both.
Okay. One of each. That's nice. And Julia, the good thing about yours, when you do the small ones, perfect for children.
They are, yeah.
What kind were they?
The ones that I've got are called Passander.
Okay.
And they are. They can kind of be lunchbox size, so you can eat them in one go. And they do produce a lot of cucumbers. And for a beginner, what I would say is if you're going out and looking for a cucumber to grow, make sure that you get something that's an F1 variety that is an all-female. And the reason you want an all-female is if you get a male flower on your cucumber, it can make the cucumber quite bitter.
Not just bitter, they're absolutely vile.
Yeah.
So I think what we do then, we'll get these going, and then in a few weeks' time, we'll talk again on the podcast about planting them out in the greenhouse and putting our structures up. So we've got a lot of work between now and then.
Okay.
So it don't matter if it rains, then we'll get in the greenhouse and put some structure thingies up.
Yeah. Talking of structures, and I know that you mentioned very early on in this episode we were going to be looking at recycling.
Yeah.
I noticed that you've got a very large structure on your plot. In fact, you've got two very large structures on your plot. One is a giant, and I mean giant, it's even bigger than you, set of ladders. And also you've got a new kind of pergola thing that is also a giant. Now, have you spent lots of money, Elaine?
No, I haven't. I spent £25 on the pergola thingy thing, and I spent £5 on those giant ladders.
And what are you going to do with them?
Right, the giant ladders, I'm going to grow sunflowers around them because I think they're just amazing. I don't think Gareth's seen them, actually, but I reckon they must be... They must be 9 foot tall, aren't they? They
are huge. I just fear going up them, but I know what you like, but they are massive.
Yeah. I just thought it would make it fun because I've also got a sign on my allotment saying beware of giants. So I thought I might get some massive boots and put them at the side so that when we have, you know, the nursery children, when they come round, I thought it might be a bit of fun, actually. Not to scare the children, that wouldn't be me. But to do some fun things so that they have a laugh as they walk by.
Yeah,
that might be nice.
But I mean, both of us are real fans of kind of going on the marketplaces, the gum trees, all those free places, or where you're paying very little money. And someone's rubbish is our treasure, really. And we can usually find a use for it on the allotment.
Well, the arbor thingy, whatever it is that I did buy, that it did take some getting together. If that had been filmed, now that would have been better than a Benny Hill.
Factor,
it was,
wasn't it?
So funny. I was trying to do it, and then Steve, the woulda, coulda, shoulda on site, came along to tell us what we should have done, and then he joined in. And then the next thing was he decided that what we needed was, it was all these tools, and in the end we stood back and watched him, didn't we, work it all out and then tell us what to do. That WD-40 works wonders. It all happened. But what we are going to do with that, I've put the net on this morning. I've netted it all, and we're going to put our sweet peas that we've been growing, and they are going to hopefully cover it.
Oh, that looked lovely. Mm,
I thought so.
Hints and tips for shortcuts to success. The Potty Plotters Plotcast.
Moving on from that, Julia, it's such a nice link. There are two things that I want to talk about with hints and tips today. Now then, the first one is keep away from toilet rolls.
Really?
That's not very hygienic, is it?
Yeah, that's not very good advice. What happens when you're on the toilet, Elaine?
Sorry. I mean the inserts, them things.
The cardboard, rolls.
Yeah,
that's it.
Why?
Right then. I'm fed up of people planting things in them. Now then, have you ever tried to break one?
No.
Right. Well, have a go. You know, next time when you sat there and thought, oh, well, you might be sat in there thinking, yeah. Well, think no further. Get in there and have a look. And what I can tell you is that a lot of them have got a plastic, like a plastic liner sort of thing, or they're sprayed with something to stop them collapsing. I don't know.
I'm wondering if that's the quality of your toilet paper. I don't recall seeing that on mine. Yeah,
I bet you've never looked.
Can we still use them as kaleidoscopes?
Yes. However, when it comes to planting broad beans in them and sweet peas, it's another matter. And I know that loads of people out there will also start to plant their runner beans in them. Now, if I can't break one big as I am, how do you expect a little bean like that to get out?
Yeah.
They can't do it. And of course, the more that you wet one, the beans will rot. So, advice. First, don't do it. Use paper instead. Newspaper, that
okay.
is. Okay. And the second thing is, if you have already planted in them, when you put them in the ground, let them loose. Break that bean free and let it go.
Yeah, I mean, joking aside, we have both tried using the toilet roll technique, and what we found is it does strangle the root system. It doesn't kind of develop in the same way if you just planted them and got them out of a pot. So we're not big fans of toilet roll inners, but toilet rolls are very useful. And in fact, can you remember, they were kind of very hard to get a hold of a couple of years ago.
Top-notch advice, no Latin included. The Potty Plotters Podcast.
Now, you wanted to do another hint and tip, didn't you? Because I showed you something earlier.
I did, and I was fascinated. And Julia, I want you to tell people about them, and then I'm going to test it.
Okay.
Go for it, girl. What is it?
So earlier on, I was telling...
I love it when we find something new that nobody's talked about.
I know. So I found these liquid chalk markers, and I used it because... In the tea shed that we've got on my plot, I keep a list of everybody's tea and coffee orders because, you know, there's getting quite a few people now. And I use these chalk markers on the blackboard, and then I thought, why can't I write on the plant pots with them? So I have. So I've written on this black plant pot here. Now, I'm not expecting it to stay on permanently, but I am expecting it to stay on probably for the season, and then we can just rub it out and clean it off. So I've just written cucumber on these two plant pots.
So make sure you do plant cucumbers in there, though.
Yeah, it would be helpful. Oh, I say, now then, I'm just rubbing my finger along.
So it's like being at school on the chalkboard, isn't it?
You've really made a mess.
Yeah.
Oh
look, just I've got a tissue.
Yeah.
Just get the board rubber and just lob it at her.
Mr. Adams used to do that. Because he used to talk. Look at
you
that.
You do surprise us.
Yeah. It's cleaned it off, hasn't it?
Yes.
But did you have to give it quite a vigorous rub, or did
I did it with my finger, and then I've got a tissue here from one I had earlier. I won't say that.
No, I don't want you wiping it off. I want you to see whether normal use it would just come off.
Oh, yes, I would say that I did it with my finger first and it came straight off. But I had to push it, and it wasn't that it came straight off.
Right.
What I mean is it probably wet it. Have a go yourself.
So if you've wet it and given it a good rub.
Yeah.
But what I was thinking, you see, if you've got a plant sale or something and you've got to create the labels so that people know what they're buying, just get yourself some chalk markers right on the side of the plant pot. And that's probably good enough for a plant sale that you've not got to go to that extreme of making labels.
And much cheaper.
Yeah.
I'm loving that, Julia. Well found.
Thank you.
The Plotcast Podcast with the Potty Plotters.
Quick, Elaine, tell us about your parsnips in those.
Well, I tell you what, be prepared to be amazed, Julia. Just to prove, and I know that I did it before, but this is just to prove a point.
So you did them in the containers that we normally do the sweet peas. So you pre-chittered the parsnips, really, and then you've planted them straight into compost.
I have, and all I did was stick my finger into multi-purpose compost in the cell trays, and I've planted two per cell. And look at that. Did you remember Purcell? He used to be a musician, didn't he?
He was a composer.
Yeah, that's him. Henry, I think it was. I did an O-level in music.
Elaine, I've got a confession.
What?
I've done this method as well, and I forgot about them, and they're climbing out the container Is that a bad... Will I be able to plant them?
What I would do, Julia, is two things. Set some, like I've done here, which look lovely. Or alternatively, why not have a go and put them straight in the ground?
Oh, OK. I was going to bin them.
No, don't bin anything. So that's that. So thanks, everybody, for getting in touch. If you've not, why not? And have a go. I'm not sure if the rain has stopped, Gareth.
Yes,
he's nodding.
Yeah, it's nice and bright now.
That's it, then.
Typical.
You've also mentioned on here, just winding up, really, but you've put myths in the past. Now, we used to think there was a myth as well on site, didn't we? We used to think there was an allotment fairy that came round and did your plots. But actually, you have to do them yourself, don't you?
Yeah, the good thing is, Julia, that I learnt that a long time ago, and I do mine.
Yeah.
About you?
Well, I do, and the sun's shining, so come on, let's get out again.
All right then. Well, next time, what we're going to be doing, we'll get back to tomatoes. We'll talk about different types of tomatoes. That's always good. And I think that's one of those things that people think are dead easy until you have a go. But we'll show you the easy way, and we'll show you the way that you will have success, come what may. Do you know that's another song?
What?
Come what may. Da, 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 da,
da, da. The Plotcast Podcast with the Potty Plotters is an Amberland Media production.